Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Sibanye Holdings Limited's full year of 2020 results presentation. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions when prompted. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero. For the benefit of the participants who have joined via the HD web phone, please ensure that you're given your microphone permission to make yourself audible before accessing the question queue. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I'd now hand the conference over to Sakari Ndlovu. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Judith, and good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for participating on this results presentation conference call. Taking us through the presentation this morning is our CEO, Neil Crawford-Lazarus, and as soon as he's done with the presentation, we'll go into Q&A, in which he'll be joined by Peter Fourie, our CEO for Sephaku Cement, and Kenneth Capes, our CEO for Metair Mixed Concrete. Handing over to you now, Neil.
Thank you, Sakari. Good morning, everybody. I am just going to take you through the presentation that is available through our website by Sakari. I'm going to quickly move through the first four slides as the opening slide. Today, we're going to look at the financial review, then the COVID-19 impact, operational review, and an outlook to end off with. Slide two is our disclaimer, which is standard requirement. We will go on to the financial review on slide number four. Excuse me. Sorry, someone has got a mic on and quite a lot of paper movement in the background, please. Thank you. Group results, net loss after tax was 17.4 million compared to the 44 million rand profit that we showed last year. I think we've been communicating the decline in demand as a major challenge throughout the year. That is basically a repeat of what we saw in the first six months, where we had a loss of half the size with regards to the earnings per share, doubled through the full year. So 17.4 million rand loss, operating loss of 4.6 million, and a basic loss per share of 0.0812 compared to the 0.212 that we achieved last year as a profit. Headline loss, 7.97, and then Sibanye Cement contribution to our equity accounted earnings was 500,000 rand compared to the 46.3 million rand of the previous year. I think that we will look at the impact or build it up to that in the last column. Just first, Metair Mixed Concrete in the middle column. Sales revenue, that was down 108 million rand to 727 million, and correspondingly, the EBITDA also went down to 34 million from 52 million the previous year. EBIT on 12.1 million, or 1.7%. Turnover and a net loss for the year of 0.6 million rand. The difference between, not that it made that a bigger difference, but the impact of going from a profit to a negative was purely or mainly driven by the implementation of IFRS 16, of course, where in the early years we have a bigger depreciation interest that we charge than the actual lease payment of 12 million that we added back. The repayment of the loan, we repaid 39 million of the term loan, which started out the year at 41 million and ended at 2 million, but there was a movement on the RCF, on the other hand, where an 82 million rand loan became 90 million at the end of the year. So a net payment really of closer to 30 million than the 39 million that is stated or that is shown on the movement for the term loan. Moving on to Sibanye Cement, again, there, a reduction of 100 million in turnover from 2.3 billion to 2.2 billion, and a reduction as well of 100 million on the EBITDA line, a 360 as opposed to the 460 of a year ago, and an EBITDA margin of 16.4%, mainly as a result of the fall in demand, and we'll look at those numbers in the following slide. EBIT margin of 8.2%, 180 million rand, and net profit after tax of 1.3 million, of which Sepaka Holdings a share of 36 is the half a million that we're showing. With regards to the payment of the loans of cement, 453 million was paid during the year, which 275 was capital. And we ended closed the year on a loan balance of 1.37 billion, which is just more than a billion down from the 2.4 billion that we started off when we commenced production. Moving on to slide five, that loss of 17.4 million, Metier revenue down 13% year on year, decrease of 14% in sales volumes and 1.2% decline in pricing, 13 of course being a result of the mix. Year on year volume decrease of 14% was due to low demand. It was specifically a bigger decrease in the KZN area, specifically significant projects like in Slunga, the Oceans project in Slunga and the Clearwood Logistics Parks. They were closed halfway through the previous year already, and we were expecting a restart throughout the year, but that didn't happen, and are still at this stage postponed as we speak. Decrease in operating margin from 4.7% to 1.7% due to the inflationary increase in expenses. We have, due to the deterioration of results on Metier, specifically in the second half of the year, approached Kenneth Capes, our founder member and previous MD of Metier, to join the group again. On an executive capacity as from the 1st of April, and Kenneth has effected a number of changes, cutting costs and streamlining operations. So that is in process and something that we will get back to later in the slide, and so which Kenneth will probably address in the Q&A section. On the cement side, the equity earnings of half a million, as I stated, decline in sales volume of 9.4%. For us during the year, the industry volumes decreased by approximately 7%. You will recall that we had still had a very good first quarter last year, but after that, there was the previous year, and therefore our decline throughout this current year was a little bit higher than the industry average. Excuse me. Sepaka Holdings, we've completed the cost reduction exercise and just intends to maintain those levels going forward. There was a 28% decrease year on year. It's something that you recall we announced in the 2018 year, halfway through that year. So we saw during the 2019 year, first effect in 2019, and then the final saving coming through in the current year, moving effectively from a 25 million head office cost in 2018 to a 16 point some change for 2020. Moving on to slide six, which is always one that questions is asked about to make an assessment of what aspects will be hit by inflation or what is outside inflation like power normally, coal and electricity. Staying at 8% and 9% of cost of production, just shows again the transport still being the major portion of turnover and sales on the cement side. Moving on to page seven or slide seven, cash flow analysis of the group. Started the year with a negative cash balance, just under 2 million. Cash generated by Metier, and this is purely Metier as cement is a equity accounted line item. 34.6 million generated, net finance cost interest being net just under 10 million. CapEx just under 10. Proceeds from the rights issue, which we conducted in February, was just under 35 million. And the debt and lease payments, 42 million for the year, ending the year just below 5 million rand. Moving on to slide eight, on Sibanye Cement side. They started 2019 calendar year with 508 million rand in the bank, generated 454, finance cost of 152, net cash from financing activities 293, and closed with 500 million in the bank. I've mentioned the head office, slide 9 now, the head office savings that was completed, moving down from 25 to 16, cash portion moving down from 20 to 14.4 million rand. On to page 10, the material bank debt, and these are there's probably only two items for discussion at the moment, that is the handling of the debt and the how we negotiate the debt and what debt payments are looking forward, and of course then the recovery post COVID that we will also address. Metier repaid 39 million on the original loan, as I mentioned. You'll see on the slide the two components, the term loan that was paid off during the current year, up to 2 million, and then the RCF that was payable in April and that we refinanced for the period going forward. Again, there's a 3-year term for the 92 million rand, or the 90 million RCF as it was at the end of the year. We will be paying 15 million from the proceeds of the sale of the Midrand property towards that loan, just to get the net debt to EBITDA ratio to acceptable levels, and then that 75 million will be paid as from the 1st of January of next year over a 3-year period, down to 45 million, which is the bullet for that on the 31st of March 2023. We would only be paying interest on the 90 million from the 1st of April until the end of August, and then also only interest on the 75 million for the balance of the year. On the cement side, as I mentioned, a billion being paid off the 2.4, now below 1.4 billion, 275 million of capital during the year, and 75 million of interest made up this 453 that was paid. The DCP loan is sitting at 521 million rand at the moment, and that is purely an accumulation of interest that moved between the 2019 figure and the 2020 figure to track the same interest as the bank loans. When I showed the cash position of cement starting the year with 500 million and ending the year with 500 million, they were in a position, and we would have communicated that with the market as well, that we were negotiating making a 200 million rand payment towards the loan account that would reduce the next 8 payments by 25 million rand each. Although cement had a healthy cash balance, the debt cover ratio was under threat. That covenant was under threat continuously going forward, with the 1.3 being required, results in the current downturn of the construction cycle just not resulting in that number being met. So there was the proposal that we would make a 200 million rand payment and that it would reduce the next 8 payments by 25 million each, which would have eased that ratio. Unfortunately, just before that payment was made, we had the announcement of the lockdown, COVID-19, and those funds were basically utilized to cover overhead costs and the two payments that was due in the first period of first half of this year. So we made a February payment, and we also made a May payment. The May payment came out of the debt service reserve account, and there was a requirement to top up that debt service reserve account, which we will get back to on a later slide again. The COVID-19 impact, I think, it's probably the same across the board, something that you've seen a number of times. Metier experienced cancellation orders from the day that the lockdown was announced. So whilst the lockdown only came in effect on the 27th, you were probably looking at three trading days for the last three trading days of the year. We did see a lot of immediate adjustments as from the 23rd. Drivers that needed to get trucks back to home before they could go home and all those type of things rolled over. So a 2.5% loss in revenue on the Metair side. Our property, Midrand property that was where the sale transaction was ready and for submission, the deed office closed and that eventually only took place at the end of July. So on the Sparkle Cement side, of course, the whole of the COVID-19 impact is post-year-end for them, as they report on a calendar year. But we have seen that level 5, of course, there was no production during that period. Level 4 was a 50% production and back to operations and then on level 3 side. We've also seen, of course, with regards to the both companies being exposed to debt, that we've seen a welcome increase in lending, borrowing costs throughout the year, and that will specifically have an impact on the cement amount that is still in excess of R1 billion. The 3% reduction in the repo rate there would assist in that side for that one going forward. COVID-19 mitigation on slide 14. Extensive protocols are in place to mitigate workplace exposure and to limit infection. Monitoring developments in regulations and best practice to ensure a fit for purpose response to the pandemic. Employees are screened daily before accessing the workplace, and we're still working on a rotation basis. Whoever can work from home, do work from home. The IT capabilities are available to enable that, and of course, employees who contact the virus are required to quarantine. Metair also works on a rotational schedule for employees to access the workplace to promote social distancing. Cement designed a response task team, including external expert, or designated response task team, including external experts, to address that on an ongoing basis. The wellness support through external service providers for employees experiencing anxiety and general distress. Moving on to slide 15, the business continuity and the second most important priority. I think we've in all spheres, we did take a very hard look at all costs and reducing costs throughout. Metair, as I've mentioned, Kenneth started there on the 1st of April and immediately implemented a range of cost savings, reducing compensation costs by 6%, reducing transport costs by 5% by increasing utilization and reducing the fleet. CapEx was cancelled for 2020 and limited for 2021. A fixed cost reduction is a key focus area and is currently still underway. Executive management and employees reduced their salaries by up to 50% from April to June, and also we're looking at a freeze in increases for the current year, no bonuses for the current year, which is the same that Cement is doing. Go to Cement, the revised CapEx plan by cancelling and postponing certain projects, optimised operational processes such as power consumption, revised overhead expenditure, and also applied the principle of no work, no pay. There was a TERS qualification there that did soften the blow, and specifically the second month where there was 50% on level 4, we were only allowed 50% of the employees. That was on a rotational basis so that everybody did work 50% of the months, and the rest was subject to a TERS claim. Also reduced bonuses and other benefits and salary increases frozen for Cement for the year going forward. We then have a quick look at the operational review. Again, the focus area was to reduce debt with the decline in market that we've seen over the last 70 months, and still to continue to evaluate potential supply opportunities. We have commissioned during the year the plant at Centurion and the one at Roslyn, both making a contribution, which would have reduced the numbers of turnover and sales if they weren't there, but to be balanced with, of course, the additional overheads resulting from operating such a plant. So these are always under review and taking a hard look at making each plant viable and each plant making a contribution. On slide 18, Metair's response to a constrained trading environment, low pricing, inflationary cost increases is the challenge that we're facing. Continuous cost management initiatives focused on competitive price inputs and ongoing focus on optimal routing and enhanced efficiencies per truck. I think that has been a main focus area recently, and we are already seeing results coming through, but expecting even better contributions in August. Declining volumes, again, that's something that we need to get back, that the service that we provide is the one that attracts the volumes and gets us the supply orders. The challenge of credit risk for customers is inherent in what it is. Credit insurance is also getting prohibitively expensive, but we've always had a very robust debt management profile, and we will continue to regularly revise creditors' limits and review their ability to pay. Parker Cement for the year, again on the reduction of debt, it's probably the third time that I'm mentioning it, but the billion has been paid. A cost control exercise and improve of efficiencies has been a main focus area, and substantial savings has been affected in the current year. Of course, the reduction of the sales volumes, the results, the bottom line, will probably not reflect this year, but we'll only probably be seeing positive results from that in the year to come. The social and labor plan, the attainment of that was also a focused area for the year, but again, the leadership vacuum and Akhaneng, that is something that remains outstanding. We have completed a multi-stage plan on the introduction of alternative fuels, but it's also something that under the current scenario, something that needs to be looked at with regards to the capital expenditure required and going ahead with that. Cement pricing, if you start the graph in 2018, we see a good recovery curve on the bulk side. Bulk prices has increased as was required over this period, specifically as we've seen a reduction during the 2015-16 years. It's only recovering now. The bag prices, not that much of an increase. We did see a good increase between 2018 and 2019, and then from the second half of 2019, a bit of a reduction there, and that was mainly a mix issue because that's post the introduction of our Falcon brand to counter imports in the KZN area. Imports, also something that is still with us, with the increase in the weakening in the rand, something that we're expecting to see less of. But there were still imports during the first quarter, and we did continue. There's talk of the ship being in the harbour at the moment in Durban, but I think it is something that is less of a threat with the weaker rand, and also the ITAC application is continuing. We've not had conclusion on that, but it is something that has been ongoing, and information is continuously supplied to ITAC. Cement's first half performance of the current year, which of course was impacted by COVID from the last week in March, where we saw an immediate seizure of orders or cancellation of orders that was placed. Year on year, cement volumes was 8.5% lower for the first 6 months. General decrease in demand in Q1 that ended in March 2020, and then the impact of COVID-19 in April specifically. We saw solid sales recovery in May and June, with double-digit average monthly increases compared to 2019. Our revenue decreased to 884 million for the 6 months from the 997 for the previous year due to the slower volumes. The outlook, we have seen a lot of announcements and we have been party to a lot of the strategic meetings with regards to Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission Council that gazetted the 18 strategic integrated projects, and of the 50 projects that was gazetted for implementation to the value of 340 billion rand. This covers a wide variety, and I'm sure most of you have seen the graphs and presentations on that. Is human settlements, 138 billion, transport, 47 billion, energy, 38, water and sanitation, 106, agriculture, 7, and digital infrastructure, 4 billion. Those are all structures that would require cement, and we are looking forward to be participating in those projects once they are kicked off. So building materials have been simply, I'm on slide 25, building materials have been impacted by the economic downturn. GDP growth forecasts are revised downwards, implying a tough operating environment. Our focus will still be to reduce the debt and to be vigilant on the cost control. Just a final comment on the debt. We have, in both instances now, settled debt going forward. The Metier revolver, as I've mentioned, that one is now to be paid over a three-year period, and interest only until the end of the year, and then capital and interest on the 75 million over a three-year period down to a bullet of 45 in March 23. And then the cement side, the debt service reserve account that was required to pay the May payment for cement, we then approached the lenders for an interest only dispensation for the last 6 months of the year, capital starting again on the 1st of January of next year, or for 2021's four quarterly payments. A prerequisite of that discussions was from the lenders that the debt service reserve account of 125 million that was utilized for that payment needed to be topped up first before we could negotiate the non-payment of capital and only interest for the balance of the year, and of that amount to be postponed to a bullet at the end. The 125 million rand that shareholders needed to contribute was then contributed by Dangote Cement PLC as a shareholder loan. So in effect, the cement loan, the balance just moved from the amount owing to banks to now being owed to shareholder. It's again at the same terms and conditions, but that enabled us to postpone the 230 million rand payment of capital that would have been required for the balance of this year to October 2023. And that concludes the presentation. I think we'll now go over to a question and answer session.
Thank you, Neil. I'm going to hand over to Judith to open up the lines for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one on your touchtone phone or the keypad on your screen. At which time, you'll hear a confirmation tone. Following this process, we'll place you in the question queue. For the benefit of other participants who have joined via the HD web phone, please ensure that you've given your microphone permission to make yourself audible before accessing the question queue. If you decide a question has been addressed and you wish to withdraw your question, you're welcome to press star then two on your touchtone phone to remove yourself from the question queue. Just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. The first question comes from Charles Boyles of Titanium Capital.
Morning, everyone. Couple of questions. Is the sound coming through okay?
Yes, I can hear you well. Thanks, Charles.
Oh, perfect. Thanks, Neil. A few questions, if I may. The first one is the local community issues at Hanang. Is that a operational interference issue, or does the risk extend to getting licenses renewed or revoked? Maybe you could clarify that first.
Yeah. Peter, do you want to start?
I think if we answer it, will be easier. It's not an operational interference at the moment, but we need to manage it so that it doesn't become an operational interference. At this stage and into the future, there's no risk of it interfering with any of the licenses. We are in constant contact with all the regulatory bodies, especially the DMR. They attend a number of meetings with them. In fact, one of the evidence of that is we have got a temporary agreement between DMR, local municipality, and ourselves as to the social and labor plan. And although that is not strictly according to the law, they have made that concession because they've tried from their side to involve the community in signing off, and they've now taken a position to say the community is totally without leadership, therefore they cannot rely on community, so they're relying on the municipality structures to take that position on behalf of the community. So we have got a temporary position in place. We have also started with a new initiative where we're investing quite a bit of infrastructure in the community itself, and that's being accepted very well. We are facing unruly youth at the moment. The older structures are certainly not the hindrance anymore. We've had a bit of a upheaval this morning, which is against the local authorities, not against us, but some disruption. So we have very few disruptions as far as vehicles are concerned. Yeah, delivery vehicles from time to time, they want to stone or burn trucks. But rest of operations not impacted at all.
Thanks, Peter. Peter, can you just talk a bit about the pricing environment, and maybe what's happening with the blenders in the market? You've got a market that, you know, volumes in aggregate have declined. It's just hard to see that price increases are going to hold despite more and more participants in the industry becoming more financially strained. But maybe you can just talk about what you're seeing in terms of pricing and activity from blenders.
Okay, so the blenders post-lockdown are not as active as they used to be. They're certainly still there, but a lot of the smaller blenders have given up with closed shop, especially those that, you know, there are quite a few instances where guys had brickyards and then they started a blending operation as well. Those are now saying it's not core business, let's carry on with life without that. So we're ending up with about three stronger blenders. One of the short-term issues that they're struggling with is the availability of slag and ash because of Mittal's reduced production and some of the Eskom inefficiencies. They and their livelihood depends on the ability to get ash. So they are being limited. And certainly, I believe they're not as active as they were last year this time. I'm not saying that will continue forever. They are still there. But we are seeing some more responsible behavior from them, and I think the larger ones especially. They are being policed more rigidly from the national SABS. We're seeing that, so quality is improved. And I think with the current environment, we are seeing increases coming through again. I can't guarantee how long that will last, but there's also a move towards higher, and we're really focusing on that, towards high strength class and promoting high strength class where they cannot compete. Where we are competing directly, we're competing with a price fighter, but we are achieving increases on the higher value products, or high strength class.
And pricing from the other cement companies in the industry?
I think something I didn't mention is, I think post-lockdown, all the cement companies, including the blenders, have suffered pain and distress, and they simply have to increase prices. So we've certainly seen increases coming in from end of May. We had increases ourselves in the one region in middle June, and another, or the rest of the operating area, middle July. And we're probably looking at another increase in October, just to catch up on costs that we've incurred as an industry. And I think everybody's under the same pressure. I think we're all borrowing from the same banks, and the banks are tough, although we've renegotiated those loans now. We need to make sure we get back on track by the end of the year. And that's going to force, and we're seeing increases coming through from all of the players.
Thanks, Peter. I've got a couple of other questions, but I'll go to the back of the queue and give somebody else a chance first. Thanks, guys.
Charles, just as far as we don't have any further questions in the queue at this point, but ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. If you've got more questions, you're welcome to go ahead and ask them.
Perfect. Neil, I'm a little stuck on page 11. Maybe you can help me. So the debt for SEPCHEM is 1.37 billion at the end of December, and we're holding 500 million rand in cash.
Yes.
And then we've got the shareholder loan. So if I follow that 500 million, I'm just trying to track, I suppose, that the waterfall on page 8, if you will, on the 500 million rolling forward, if that makes any sense. So if I've got 500 million, I'm trying to understand why a shareholder funding of 125 million was required. If you didn't use the 200 million for a prepayment, did you not have sufficient cash reserves to make the necessary payments, cover the overheads, and still be sufficiently liquid?
Yeah, Charles, that is exactly the point. I think, first of all, we did make two payments out of that 500. Let's just for a moment set aside what was the earnings for or the net result for the first 6 months. But during that 6 months, there was two payments needed to be made to the banks. So call it around 250. That's half of the that was utilized for that. And then if you look at April being an overheads only month, the cash requirement to run an operation, you know, with an annual turnover, let's say a monthly turnover of 200 million, if you have a 2.4 billion turnover during the year. So you're looking at a 200 million a month operation that has got no income during that year, and it's just a variable cost that of course is saved to an extent. So there's a quite a drain on cash during the April and even for May when you're only looking at 50% of production. Although there is still a net requirement of cash. Now, if that drains 400 of the 500, and I'm talking a very, very loose number now, You need to have a working capital installed as well. And we could not use those funds to top up the debt service reserve account. And the debt service reserve account typically needs to be topped. So included in the 500 was the amount in the debt service reserve account, of course, as well.
I'm being slow here. When you say the debt service account, take me back a minute.
You always have to have the next debt set payment already in a separate account earmarked for that payment within 7 days after you've made the previous payment.
Oh, really? So let me understand that. You make a payment, and 7 days later, the next payment has to be in an account to make the following payment.
Yeah. Normally, that account stays, we don't touch that account. They just sweep from the current account. Always one payment in advance in a debt service reserve account.
Okay.
But we use the debt service reserve account to make that payment. Did not sweep the. So it's always cash on hand, but it's a restricted cash. Because it's an owner towards the payment of the loan. So in May, it was used towards the payment of the loan, and there was 150 million in it. So there was 25 million left after the 124 was swept out of it. There's a requirement that it needs to be topped up within 7 days. We've asked for an extension of that in order to have a negotiation with regards to non-capital payments. And the banks or the lenders agreed that they would negotiate, but they needed the top-up to be made before the end of July. Now, again, in recovering from the 1.5 months out of production does not facilitate topping that up from operations. So 105 million was required by the shareholders. And of course, there again, that was a negotiation between shareholders. Holdings cannot go to market at current prices. But and then Goaty probably fortunately had a big bond raise just before COVID, so they were able to supply the 125 million as a shareholder loan. So two things. So the 1375. Of course, has, because of the payments for February and May, come down to 1170. So it's not 1.3 anymore, it's 1170. And now the payment of 125 by DCP is not going into the debt service reserve account anymore. We've now abandoned that requirement going forward, but the 125 was also paid off against the loan. So there was a further one. So you should be looking at 1050 at the moment, which is 300 less than what we're currently showing as the amount at year end. But 1050 to the banks and now 125 additional to DCP, because they paid the difference between 1170 and the 1050 they paid.
Bear with me 2 seconds, I just want to make sure that I've got you. So 1170 is the capital after the February and May principal payments?
That's correct.
You're deducting 125 being the payment made from DCP. So that gives you to the banks on the 12th of August, 1050, roughly.
Yeah, roughly. Rough
numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe if I can just come in here, rough numbers, but there was also still 25 million in the debt service reserve account that also went off. So it's ended up being 1025, but
exactly. Sorry, I swept 125 of the 150. We put 125 back, so there was 150 that was paid down of the 170. So that went 1170. We then went to 1020 or 1025, as Peter said. But the net or Sepakwa's main debt is still the 1150 now, because it's just 1025 to the banks and 125 to Dangote.
So let's say it's 1025 to the banks.
Yeah.
Then to Dangote, we had the 521 at the end of the year plus the 125.
Yes.
So we're at nearly 640 plus interest, I assume, is accruing on that.
Yes.
And then we have some cash balance that we deduct from that to get the net debt. Or is there no, is there effectively, so you've got a working cash balance of 50 to 100 million, I'm assuming.
No, it's more than that.
More than that, yeah.
And I think maybe if I can also just say, when we started negotiating with the banks, we were just coming out of lockdown, and in fact, we were still in lockdown, and then as we came out, we were extremely conservative. In retrospect, as we sit now, we didn't need as much as we got from Dangote, but the shareholders took a decision, especially Dangote, get the monkey off your back, let's put this money in, and if we go through whatever other dip now, let's not get ourselves in the same situation. So we do have some headroom, especially after the last 3 months, and probably if we'd known we were going to be in double-digit growth for the last couple of months, we would have settled for something smaller than that. But I think it's one more of Dangote saying, get this out of our way. Let's not irritate the banks. Let's get on with business. That, so we still have, and I guess we can't disclose the detail. It's not public knowledge yet. But we do have headroom cash in the bank.
So you printed what I was trying to get to, which is just, because I figure if it was 50 to 100, your headroom was very tight. But you're saying you've got more headroom than that, and barring anything unforeseen, you've got sufficient to trade sufficiently in Setchem.
Yeah.
So the net effect is you've got debt of between the banks and Dangote of 1650, and say 1675 in the middle of August.
Yes.
Does that include the 49 million that was originally advanced by Dangote that you still, your pro rata portion still has to be paid at some point?
No, that excludes that as well.
So you still need to pay the 36% of 49 or 48, whatever. Yeah.
That is still being treated at the moment, and we will, you know, enter into negotiations with regard to exactly how we're going to do that. That's still being carried in cement as a deposit against equity. You'll remember they just at the time that that contribution said they're not going to call on us for our contribution at this point in time. But we'll talk about dealing with that one as well and getting it out of the way, hopefully before the end of the year.
So that, just to be clear, that's not in the 640 figure, 521 topped up?
No, it's not.
One last issue, if I may. The Metier, so I appreciate you've refinanced the revolver.
Yeah.
So that's turned that out, and there's a the proceeds will pay down to 75. You're servicing interest, so you've got some breathing room. But just from a working capital perspective, Metier had the benefit of a fairly strong release of working capital in the year ended March 2020. So debtors came down north of 20 million. I'm just trying to understand, the business closes now for a period for the lockdown, so there's some overheads there. I'm not sure if the Standard Bank overdraft is still in place and accessible, but I'm just trying to understand if you've got, oh, is it? And they haven't reduced that?
No, they haven't.
So does Metier have sufficient, I mean, I would think the space that they're in is particularly slow activity-wise. Have they got sufficient liquidity and working capital to trade?
Absolutely. I mean, Kenneth can come in on that one as well. But yes, Charles, we and typically the overdraft is just something that we use as a working capital facility over month end. So we are in a cash positive position for most of the months, in, let's say 25 of the 30 days. And it's purely just the matching or mismatching of, because we always.
So you're not, sorry, my apologies, Karen.
So yes, as I said, we've done, Kenneth has basically restructured the whole company and results are improving on a monthly basis. So the cash is also improving on a monthly basis. It's getting better, not worse, and we have been getting through. So the utilization of the working capital facility has been getting less each of the last 3 months. But we always go positive as well. We always go positive by the fourth or fifth day of the month.
Useful. Thanks, Neil. The and Penny, just in terms of corporate activity with the cement groups, AfriSam, Lafarge, any change in their strategy or outlook or view of South Africa, or just carrying on as before?
Yeah, not that we picked up. I've not picked up anything. No different views.
Very useful. Nobody's thanks, guys. I really nobody's packed up their kit and looked to exit South Africa.
No, not yet.
We keep wishing. Well, thanks, guys.
I think they might have packed their bags, but now there are no aeroplanes left, so they're
staying around. 100%. Box on, guys, and all the best. I appreciate the input. Thank you.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. And it touches your phone to place yourself in the question queue. The next question comes from Andrew Moses of MIPFA.
Hi, guys. You've had really nice demand kind of in the recent months. How much of that do you think is due to the sort of stocking up pre-price increases? And have you got, how much of it is actually in demand? Have you got a feel for what's flowing out and what's maybe assume is import replacements and what is kind of restocking of the supply chain?
I think if you look at what we saw in May, there was quite a bit of restocking and some import replacement. That's continued through June, July, August, and we haven't seen it slow down. Most of it is coming, came from the bag market in the early months, but we are now seeing the bulk market picking up quite substantially as well, where I think developers are now going towards the end of the year, the normal trend to try and finish off projects before the end of the year, and they only realize now how far they're behind. So I would say of the uptick, just talking for ourselves, not the industry, the uptick of the improvement, maybe 3% of the double digits or 30% of what we're seeing is in terms of import replacement. The rest is on additional demand, and that demand is quite widespread, and it appears that the general public, the consumer spending, is looking more at sustainable investment, adding another room or another roof, rather than on luxury goods. When we talk to some of our biggest customers, we share these views, because it's not just cement, it's coming from a lot of building materials. How long that will last is a big question, but at the moment we're seeing the momentum in it still. So stocking up was maybe the first 3 weeks of May that caused a bit of a demand, but the rest, the demand is definitely higher in general than last year.
Great, thank you. That's it's sort of a very pleasant surprise to me.
Even more to us, but you know, tongue in cheek, it might be an upside from the lockdown and COVID, because especially if you take public servants, and I'm not an economist, but if you just look at the amount of money that's still flowing into public servant salaries, of which half of them are down because of COVID, and they can't spend money on alcohol. If they're spending money on alcohol, illegal alcohol and cigarettes, it's not as much as they used to. So maybe the wife wins now to say, let's rather fix this part of the house than going out to dinner or whatever. So I think there's certainly more individual money flowing into our side of the business that used to go maybe into traveling. There's a lot of saving in terms of transport. I think with people are still getting, that are getting full pay and not going to work. There's a lot of that happening still. That's the only explanation that I can find.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one on your touchtone phone to place yourself in the question queue. We have a follow-up question from Charles Boyle of Titanium Capital.
I like that explanation of the reason for the additional income. Just a clarification, if you look at across the industry, my understanding is that AfriSam are running one kiln, this is inland, PPC Lafarge 1, Mamba 1, and yourselves 1. Are those numbers correct, or is anybody else mothballed capacity?
No, I think that you're correct with that assumption.
And there's no capacity that's down for outage or technical issues. The kilns are up and running since lockdowns permitted.
Lafarge, we know, have had some problems running, and they were buying in clinker. Mamba had a shutdown just shortly after the lockdown ended. But then they came back up again. Maybe they were down for 3 weeks or so. But for the rest, I think everybody's running their most efficient kiln and have put the others on hold for one day.
Got it. So one last question, if I may, Peter. The proposed transaction between Cashbuild and the building materials group out of Pepco makes that combined group pretty big in the retail space. Is that of sufficient size for the combined group to drive cement pricing, to have a bigger influence on cement pricing?
No, I don't think so. And both of them are customers of ours. They are in different areas, so there's not a, you know, if you bring the power of them together, there's still, I think, sufficient competition by either smaller traders or the likes of, you know, depending which area you go. If you go into the rural areas, there build it, the SPAR Group was still very well positioned. Different business model, and you know, that I think a bit quicker than some of the larger guys, you know, just because it's entrepreneurs running the businesses, their own businesses on a franchise basis. So they probably the biggest check on the cement price side, and then in the urban areas, Builders Warehouse or Mass Build is probably the biggest competition there. So yeah, I don't think it'll have a major impact on price. Yeah, and as far as we're concerned, we're in good standing with both of those. So there's no threat or benefit of, we believe, that merger. We're probably going to end up with the same supply into the.
One could see an environment where that buying power could be used to, I mean, if you're not supplying into that combined group, that's quite problematic if you're a producer.
Correct. At the moment, there's only one producer that's not supplying into Cashbuild. So if you look at Cashbuild's strategy, they do prefer one leading supplier, and then they have the rest of the suppliers as suppliers, but something went wrong with one of the competitors that started competing with them with their own outlets.
Yes.
So that one does not supply them. But for the rest, they're quite well balanced strategically, that if you slip up with them, yes, they'll favor another one, but they have got a structure where they have all the different suppliers in their stores, maybe not as strong in every region, but yes, you've got to look after them.
Useful. Thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions on the lines. Do you have any closing comments?
Thank you very much, Judith, and I want to just thank everybody who participated on the call, and if there are any questions that come up beyond this call, please feel free to contact me on my email address on the last slide of the presentation, and have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.